بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The tertib in Saharanpur used to be about 10 o'clock or so, depending on the season. Month of Ramadan, then there would be some bayan. Sometimes, as Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, sometimes Ubaidullah Sahib Balyabi from Markaz Nizamuddin, sometimes Mawla Umar Palanpuri Sahib, if he was around, Mawla Alimya Sahib, Mawla Manzoor Sahib was around, they would give some bayan. Qari Tayyib Sahib would come, he should give the bayan. And then after Maghrib, people have the iftari and all that, and they will come just before Isha namaz. They will sit by Sheikh once again. So the Sheikh Ramadan's style was not the clear bayan, informal he would just speak. On one such sitting, he says, what's the reason for the bickering, dissension and dispute amongst the ulama, learned people? Why is it? Like you find it today. So he gave one answer, one line. The line he says, Sabko bade banne ka shauk. Everybody wants to be better than the other, greater than the other. Whereas our deen teaches us that you be the lesser person in any gathering, any jamaat, then you be the smaller person. Then trying to be the better person, you try to be the lesser person. With the tawazu, everything will come right. But if everybody feels, oh no, I must have the last say, few of us listen to me, my following is greater, and أكثر منكم نفرا, I'm greater than you, my numbers are greater, my wealth is greater, my popularity is greater, then this fight and this dispute won't end, carry on with generations, time. So the Shaykh explains his own story. That one person, perhaps an alim, nearly every day he would have breakfast with the Shaykh. Shaykh's style was that there should be an open dastarkhan, people will come, they'll eat and they'll go. So nearly every day he'll eat. And this carried on not for days, for years. Then he went and spoke to Nazim Sahib. Nazim Sahib was Mawlana Asadullah Sahib Rahmatullahi. And before him it was perhaps Mawlana Abdul Latif Sahib Rahmatullahi. He says, you see, you must be careful of this Muli Zakaria, you must be careful of him. Because you see him always with Mawlana Saharanpuri Sahib Rahmatullahi all the time. Chaplosi karta rehta hai. He tries to flatter him. He wants to take over. See? So just be careful. Now, he's been sitting here not for days, not for weeks, not for months, for years, eating everything here. And then he carries this story by Hazrat Nazim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So Nazim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he responded, if he ever makes even a small ishara, then I will support him 100%. Because he is definitely eligible for that. And then he meant it and he started the whole thing. And just around then, the Sheikh now, he says, this thing here, this whole administration, etc., becoming the head of the madrasa, and things of administration is not in my tabiat. So I needed to get out of this whole thing. So I'm thinking, now how must I get out of this whole thing? And in those days, Sultan Puri Sahib Rahmatullahi was planning to move away to Medina Munawara, hijrat to Medina Munawara. So the Sheikh saw him one day alone. So he says, you know, bazal ka kya hoga? Bazal majood, now what's going to happen to it? Sultan Puri Sahib seemed to be worried. And he says, tere bagheer mera kaam to ho nahi sakta. Without you, I can't do this thing. Lekin ye kharch kaise bardasht karenge? You know, the money that is required to travel, to live there, how you manage that? So Sheikh Ahmed told him, see, don't worry about that. That side of you, don't worry about it. Other things also, I do take debts and I settle the debts. Inshallah, I don't have a problem with that. When I said this, he said, Sahan Puri Sahib's face just shined up, just brightened up. So when I read this article here, I'm thinking just about two, three things that was more very popular. One is they didn't want to take any position, recognition, position. They didn't want to do it. Small or big, avoided that. As a result, there was no dispute. Number two is they looked for ways to avoid this thing here and do work, right? That's number two, what work they can do. Number three is how can they please the elders? They would look for ways to please the elders. Now, these three things, I don't think we have it. We have it now and then, occasional, seasonal, right? But the way it's supposed to be, we don't have it. So now, these all the stories we are reading, stories are showing approximately the same thing. One is, how do we lower ourselves? See, the whole life is about showing tawazu. That's the whole life about. How do we humble ourselves? How do we lower ourselves? Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi. Mi'raj, we have a special night for it. Programs and all that, right? And we speak about the Mi'raj, ascension to the heavens, right? The whole program, talk about it, miracle, etc. When Allah Ta'ala speaks about it, He says, Asra bi abdi. He took His servant by night. So there's a difference when you say slave and when you say worker. Right? A worker or an employee, his whole portfolio is different. And a slave's portfolio is different. Right? Two are workers and both portfolios are totally different, worlds apart. The worker, his duties are defined. Right? And you try to do something beyond that, then he won't do it or he won't be able to do it. That is a worker. Right? So if his work, for example, was to do the security, and then you ask him to sweep floors, you see, I'm not employed for that. The truck has just come, offload the truck, so I'm not employed for that. I'm employed only for the security, and I will do what I was employed for, not what I wasn't employed for. So this is now an employee. So his portfolio is defined. He will just do what he was what he was employed for. You got an accountant in your shop, he do the accounts. One day you ask him, go and wash my clothes. Wash all the clothes and iron them. Work hasn't come today, maid hasn't come today. You do the ironing and pressing, washing. You're getting paid after all. What he'll say? No, no, that's not my work. He'll say straight, I wasn't employed for that. It's not my contract. Won't he say that? So, a worker's portfolio is different. Then you get a slave, and a slave not. What is his portfolio? The slave has got no portfolio. Tell him sit, he must sit. Get up. Clean the toilet, he must clean the toilet. Take care of the garden, he must take care of the garden. Take care of my children, I must take care. Wash the clothing, iron them, press them. Prepare the meals, he must do it. Sweep the floors, he must do it. Right? And today you take the car out, and you will take everybody for an outing, do it. Right? Then he says that, I'm going over for Hajj for 3-4 months, and you will take care of my business, you must do it. So, from the level of a small menial worker, to being, to replacing the boss, to the place of substituting the boss, he must be able to do anything. He will do anything. Right. So that's the meaning of a slave. And this is the meaning of a servant, a worker, two different people. Now when we look at ourselves, we think, no, we're not workers. We're not slaves. We're just workers. We just do this. So as a result, that abdiyat doesn't come in. And Allah Ta'ala is praising Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he's taking him to the highest of the high, praising him with what words? Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi. In the next word, next verse, again Allah Pak says, Zurriyata man hamalna ma'anu innahu kana abdan shakura. He was an ever grateful person. He was an ever grateful slave again. So the word's praise was abd. Right? That means we are sent here for what? We are sent to learn abdiyat. Not to learn how to become the boss, manager, how to gain recognition, publicity, how to be respected and honored. Not for that. We came out here for what? We came here to learn servitude. See, for Rasulullah SAW, Asra bi abdihi, here, abdan shakura. To learn what it is to be a slave. At any time, any given thing, one person purchased a slave. Right? So, he brought him home. So he asks, what will you wear? Whatever clothing you provide. Where will you sleep? Whatever bedding you provide. What time will you get up and start working? Whatever time you instruct. And what will be your work? Whatever you say. Right. And how will you program your day and night? Whatever you say. So the boss turns around to the slave and says, may Allah Ta'ala bless you, because you have taught me the meaning of slavery. That the slave doesn't have a choice of his own. It is the boss that will rule his life. Slave, all the time, he's trying. What he's trying? To please. So it's a boss now. I need to please my boss. My superior, my in charge, I need to keep him happy. So he's not looking for recognition. He's looking for the fact that I must keep my boss happy. Whatever he wants, at whichever time he wants, whatever the nature of the work, but my duty is to keep him happy. So, you know, the phrase that reaches us is from Allah Ta'ala. But Allah Ta'ala's system is, the blessing doesn't reach you directly. He has a element, or he has a center, and the center will then pass on the blessings. For example, Allah Pak wants to send heat to the earth, so he will not send it directly. He will have a center. The center will be called the sun, and the sun will then pass on the heat. Allah Pak can do without the sun. He doesn't need the sun to pass the rays and the heat. He doesn't need the sun to send the heat, the light and the rays. But he creates a center, and the center will thereafter pass it on. Right? Similarly, the earth needs rain, right? So he can send rain straight away. From his unseen resources he can send it. But he doesn't do that. He creates a thing like called clouds, and then he commands the clouds, and now you rain, you bring the rain. Right? So the clouds will then pass on the rain to the earth. He wants, he can do it without the agency of the sun, without the agency of the clouds, he can do it. So all these things are in the treasure of Allah Ta'ala, and he can send it, right? And again, you look at the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, it's so astounding, so astounding. That you can see these are rain clouds carrying thousands of tons of water. But I ask you, fly the best rocket, go up, and fetch me one cup of water from the cloud directly. Can you do it? Yet we know that that's the source that brings on the rain, brings on the water to us. But can anybody go there and take one cup? Then again, look at the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala again. For a moment, right? The cloud is carrying that rain, right? Now that thing has got thousands of tons of water, right? But how is it suspended between the earth and the sky? It's suspended, carrying. Even here now, it had a puncture or something, and everything just fell. Do you ever hear? There was some breakdown on the cloud, and the breakdown, everything just fell. You hear that? That thing is suspended between the earth and the sky, moving. See the Qudrat of Allah. وَالصَّحَابِ الْمُسَخَّرِ بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَآيَاتِ لِقَوْمِ يَعْقِلُونَ. You look, and you look, you keep looking. فَرْجِعِ الْبَصَرَ هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُطُورِ. Can you find any flaw in the plan of Allah Ta'ala? Any plan, any flaw. Absolutely no flaw, flawless. Right? Thousands of liters, millions, millions of liters of water, and it's carrying. And it won't just rain anywhere. Musakhar, the thing is subjected to the command of Allah Ta'ala. This amount of rain, this place. And you will rain at this speed. Right? With this pressure, with this force, you will rain at this spot, and you will rain exactly at the spot Allah Ta'ala has commanded, right? Nothing beyond that, right? So this is the style of the world, that Allah doesn't do anything directly. He can do it, but he doesn't, prefers not to do it directly. There will be a source for anything. Diamonds, he can send it from wherever he wants. He can send it, right? Your child getting married, or take two diamonds. Diamonds for forever, right? Or you're going for Hajj, or take some amount of money for Hajj. Does it happen that way? So it creates a source for everything. Everything creates a source. So this fuyuz and barakat, children again is a source. You can send the children straight. He doesn't need to send it to you, right? But he prefers not to do it that way. In all this, you need to look at the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. You couldn't have made the child, small child, forget the child, even the human seed, you couldn't do it. He made it happen. Right? But he created a center. See, what we are doing today is we're listening to science, and we're listening to all the theories and whatever it is, and then our minds are glued onto that. But we don't want to see the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. his work, his beauty, his artistry, his handiwork. We don't want to see all that. Sun Allah, we don't see. We need to see it and discuss these things with our children as well. See, look at the beauty of Allah Ta'ala. Now, again, now look at it. We spoke about material things, right? And in material things, Allah Ta'ala prefers not to send things directly, but do it through some medium. The hikmat of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Pak knows why He does it in that way. Same now with deen, then He doesn't send deen directly. Then He'll have a means, have a medium, and through that medium He will send deen. The greatest medium of all times is a Nabi. Right? So He can send it straight to anybody living in America, Italy, Africa, wherever. He can send it to anybody. Right? To each person individually He can send it. But He prefers not to do it that way. What He will do it, He will do is He will choose bi rahmatihi man yasha. Whoever He wants, He'll choose someone. He'll elect someone. He'll select someone. So like in material things, Allah Ta'ala doesn't send directly. In spiritual things also, Allah Ta'ala will not send things directly. He will choose someone. How He'll choose, that He knows. That's not for us to say now, how He'll choose, whatever He'll do. That's not for us. So He'll send someone, and He will choose someone, right? Now in this choosing and selecting, He'll choose the man, He'll prepare the person, and then that person is sent to millions of people. So this is the system of Allah Ta'ala. One person is selected, and for the guidance of millions of people, this person, he is chosen, right? So every word of his, every statement of his, people take it and they emulate that. Now, alright, we spoke about this system, worldly material system we spoke about. Now we speak about the spiritual system. Right? So in the worldly system, in the material, there was a center, you need to go and locate the center and take the treasure from that. Right? You need to locate the center and thereafter take the pressure from that. Right? Now look at it, look at mines, right, for example. So approximately 500,000 people employed in this country here, just in the mines, right? So many people. Right? So they employed so many people, so much of machinery that goes into it, right? Millions and billions of machinery goes into it. They know the value of it. One person was working in the madrasa for a short period, maybe 2-3 months, and then he left. So he was a new Muslim, so I just asked him, you know, how do you accept Islam and all that. So he gave me some more part of his life. He says, I was working in the mines, gold mine in Johannesburg. I was working there, right, for a long time. He says, I asked him then, can't you make a plan of taking some gold? Because it's a mine full, right? So, you can't say, no man, you can't, it's impossible. So how? If you say you swallowed something, right? No, you can't do anything. They got a machine that will just detect it. Each one is coming out, and you go through the scanning machine, and as you go through the scanning machine, that will pick it up. You took something in, you got it stuck somewhere, and they'll get it out of you. So what lesson I learned from that is, you see, the importance they attach to this. They spend so much just to preserve this goal. They understood the value. So when they understood the value, so they attach that type of importance to it. So if they attach that type of importance to gold, then you can well imagine what type of importance they must have attached to diamonds and pearls, etc. Right? So what type of scanning machinery they must have bought in these places here. That all the wealth, the material, all that, right? They understand what value is got. Then from that, then they see the importance, it's the significance of this thing here. And then they control after that. You see, I got control of the mind, so then I'll have some monopoly. I'll have some control, because I know what I'm bringing out. What I'm doing, my might, my power, my strength, I know what it is like. So I have a monopoly over the markets. I have a monopoly over the world. I can influence things, right? Why? I got the monopoly of the wealth. I got the resource. When I got the resource, I can monopolize. See? But now you see now the amount of importance you attach to it. Now you come on to the spiritual side, right? Then the whole world and all what it contains is not equivalent to one subhanallah. Now for that wealth, so much of importance is attached. Morning, night, wealth, preserve it, secure it, earn it, generate it. So much of importance. Right. Now, we want that spiritual wealth, that spiritual jewel we want. We want that spiritual wealth. Now how do we earn that spiritual wealth? See, like I said, they control this whole thing. How they control it? Alright, say for example, Rhodesia wants its independence. So they gave Rhodesia its independence. Now an accountant, he explained this. I studied this whole thing, so let me explain how it works. He's an accountant, so he's telling me now how it works. So now they got their independence. Alright, they fought, they got the independence. Now when they got the independence, now they realized we need money to run the country. Roads, hospitals, public services. So we need money for that. And we don't have the money for that. Now how do we run the country? See, they just came into power. And when they just came into power, they realized they need money to run the country. So then, when they want money to run the country, then they go to the bank, World Bank, or whichever bank they'll go. So all right, give them, no problem, we'll give you whatever amount you want, then we'll give it to you. But then, you see, these resources, you got gold here, you got diamonds here, you got petroleum here. We will control it. There'll be no strings attached to this. We will control these things here how we want. Now you're desperate for that money, right? So I gave you the money. But in return I told you, you know what, you've got this natural resources, we will control it from today. Understand? Right. So now they begin to control the natural resources, right? And you can't do anything about it. Do anything about it, they'll close you. See? So you see the amount of importance you attach to material. So much, and you'll worship them. See, they do this, you will do it. Don't do it, you will not do it. Anything. Whatever the master says, then you will just listen. They can influence, to what extent they can influence. See. Now, you're looking at deen, right? Now, when we look at deen now, and we're looking at all the system, then we want to survive, right? The better thing is, then don't do anything that will bring you into trouble. Right? You don't do anything that will bring you into trouble. And if you drive on the wrong side of the road, it will get you into trouble, right? So don't do things that will put you into trouble. Right? Whether now, whether after Ramadan, whether before Ramadan, whichever time of the year, wherever you are, don't do things that will put you into trouble. Now, you need to save deen, sustain deen, and pass it on after that. If you do something, it may be permissible what you are doing, but then they will stop you then. Can you do any deen work after that? All the deen work will just be stopped, come to an abrupt end, stopped straight away. I say now, you're going to fight all people that don't observe parda. We're going to fight them. See, any woman doing that, we'll strip her, we'll back her properly, solid. Now, can you last after that? Though what you are doing was for the right cause, right? To bring some modesty and shame. You're doing it for the right cause. But then will you last? You're not going to last. So when you're not going to last, then why adopt a stance that will stop you? Will stop you in the tracks. You can't do. Nobody else can do work after that. So you don't do anything that will bring you into trouble. Bring yourself, bring others into trouble. Don't do this. Don't do these type of things. See, sometimes you will bring yourself into trouble. Sometimes you will bring others into trouble. Now, I remember studying in Deoband. So, well, these are all logical things, but I don't know why our brains don't work. We'll be studying in Deoband. So, your draft would come after every 2 months or 3 months. How you get a check, how you get an EFT, you know, that time it was a draft. Like how a check you get. So you take it to the bank, and the bank will then give you the currency, right? But they have to check this thing, that this draft is genuine. So they will send it to America. That time the postal system is sending it. There wasn't fax and all that. So they send it to America. America will verify it. When they verify it, then they release the money. So that takes about 4 weeks. So 3 months your draft will come. 1 month they will take to verify. And then your money comes. See? So it's a long process. So one person has some contact with the bank manager. So as he produces his draft, he gets the release of the cash straight away. Now the second person got to know about it. The bank manager has made this consideration for this person, even presented his draft. I want the cash. So the bank manager said, you'll get your cash after 1 month. You'll have to send it to the process and then you'll get the money. He said, but you're doing it for this person, why can't you do it for me? He said, right now, stop for everybody. His application was right. Can you say that his application was wrong? His application was right. He said, no, I must do it. Justice, stand for justice, alright? You stood for justice. Right? In an unjust society, you are standing for justice. So you will get anything out of it. So now, you adopt a procedure that is within parameters. You will not cause problem for yourself. You will not cause problem for anybody else, right? Like I said, now you got the right to go and fight against immodesty, immorality. You got the right to do it, right? But if you're going to do it, they'll stop you completely. Can't do anything after that. Any deen work you can't do. Right? Then they'll gun you down. The media will paint you, will brush you with a bad impression, give a very bad picture. So now you have to do things a little bit thoughtfully, understanding that, alright, this is going to be the consequence. How do I do it? Now don't do things that will bring problems for you and problems for others. See? So what I'm getting at now, why is this fight? I look at the people in the past. Their mind was, how can I learn servitude? Not bossiness. See, now he's learning business administration. That's what he's learning. How to be the boss. And whatever deen is teaching us, how to be the slave. They teach you how to be the boss. And what deen is teaching you, how to be the slave. See. Muzaffar Hussain Sahib, rahmatullahi, his stories are quite proverbial for his taqwa, righteousness, etc. He's known. The whole world talks about him today, till today. Right? Being the third generation of Muhammad Ilyas Sahib, rahmatullahi, very pious. She would see Muhammad Ilyas Sahib in his infancy. It says, Tere andar to sahabai kiram ki shabahat nazar aati hai. I see the resemblance of sahabai kiram in you. Right? From that time. In his infancy, she saw him. And she said that, right? Now, so, his taqwa was proverbial. Anything that was of a doubtful character, then you won't see him going to it. But now, do you study these people's lives? What was the cornerstone? See, we're looking for jewels. We're looking for pearls. We're looking for diamonds. Right? So we can also benefit from those diamonds and those pearls. But then there's a process, like I said, worldly diamonds, and what effort is required. Worldly pearls and minerals, what is required? Procedures are required, right? So now, speaking of spiritual diamonds and pearls, spiritual is a different thing. This thing here, for a short while you take some benefit and it's over. Game is up, class, you leave it. And that is forever lasting, inshallah. It's here in the qabr, in the hereafter. Because nowhere Allah Pak says, Hunu ma'al mutakassirin. Be with those who have a lot of wealth. But it says, Kunu ma'al sadiqeen. Right? فَأُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ. And this being together will continue beyond the realms of this world, beyond there also. But then how do we attach ourselves, how do we connect ourselves to this mine, this minerals, you know, this diamonds, this pearls, how do we connect ourselves? There must be a way for it. Now, for that we need to learn the stories of these Buzurgan Adin, Mashaykh, understand, not just read them as an experience, but see now what was the mindset, how did they go about doing things. If we just took it as a pastime, that is not much of a benefit. But to see now, how did they do things? What did they do? What was the plan? Al-Mu Qasim Sahib Rahmatullahi, look at his stories repeatedly, not one time. I read this book, I finished, read it again, think what he did. Look at the time that they had to do the opening of Darul Diyoban, right? The foundation laying, right? Now, one of the elders at that time was Haji Abid Hussain Sahib Rahmatullahi. He is the elder, right? Being a Sayyid, and he's got a lot of respect, commands a lot of respect right around that area. He's known for his Taweezes, very effective Taweez. So effective Taweez. So you will come and complain to him, you know, I had this expensive thing and the thing gone missing. So I take this Taweez. And about an hour's time, the thing is back. So he had jinnats under control. They'll go and detect the thing and they'll bring it back. See? So his Taweez were very, very effective. Now, Hazrat Qasim Sahib Rahmatullahi and the ulama of the time that knew much about people, how things run, right? They felt that the right thing is we have a madrasa in a separate entity altogether. You know? We can't run it from a masjid. As we are running it from the Jama Masjid, we can't run it. He also for some time, I think about a year, 2 years, we ran the madrasa from the masjid. Top masjid, right? Until Allah created an opening here. So, we understand the complexities that goes with it. Some complication now. One child made a noise, he broke something, or he misbehaved, and now it's in the public eye. Someone is going to raise an objection. And then, you want a free movement. You don't want to be accountable all the time. Accountable to him now, again, accountable again, accountable again. Then how are you going to teach? Accountable all the time. These are children. He'll make one masjid, that one will make another trouble, he'll make something else. We had one student, long time over, maybe over 30 years now, still teaching the masjid at that time. So he got angry with the ustad. Ustad came out of the class. So he saw all his ties are all flat. You see now, what goes on. Meanwhile, that child's father is also, he is garam bagat, right? He'll do anything. Capsize the madrasa also. So how to fix the thing up? Now all these things happening in the masjid. Now this childhood, you can't take out of the child. Can you take it out? The child will remain a child. He'll do some stupid thing. Very odd thing. Now the child, the ustad needs to go home. How must he go home? Understand now, to make a person, how long it takes. So they understood now that we have to do this. Laman, we have to have a total different side. We can't be here. In the meanwhile, Haji Abid Hussain, a great buzrug also, not an ordinary person, a very great buzrug. He says this is fuzul, this is extravagance. There's no need for doing this. The things are carrying on in the masjid, why must he move away? This is absolute extravagance. Now, being a senior, they can't argue with him. But they know that this is a genuine need. All ulama that are there, they know it's a genuine need. Now, how do we work this thing? So eventually, they thought of a plan. All right, we'll start. This is the date. Let the people know also, because it's a public thing, right? See, when it's a public thing, remember, it must be transparent. That you don't conceal it, especially your work and the finance. What work you're doing and the finance, it must be transparent. If you're not transparent in the work, or not transparent in the finance, you won't have a problem. If not now, 10 years, 20 years from now, what happened to this finance and what work have you produced? That's what people want to know. They have contributed, and they contributed, so they want to know where the money went and what work did you do for this 10, 20 years, what have you done? So in these two things, you have to be transparent. Leave it open. This is what's going on. Every year, this is the finance, there's a breakdown, and this is the work that was done for this period. So that builds confidence. Right? As I say, it's public work. You know, like you had, say, 10,000 yuan, and you sent your friend or your son to do some shopping. So he did. So you ask him, can you show me the receipt? So he produces the receipt, says, all right, you bought milk, you bought bread, you bought whatever else, all right. Now this is telling in what you spent, mashallah, alhamdulillah. Why it was your money? So these madrasas are like the public money. When it's a public property, then they need to know, all right, how you spend the money. And they need to know also what you bought, what work have you achieved over this period. See? So anyway, Haji Abid Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah is saying, no, there's no need. This is all extravagance, you don't need to put up. Well, Qasim Sahib and the rest, they try to explain him, but he will not understand. So they resolve now that we're going to put this thing, we're going to start this thing off here, because it's very important. We know what's happening in India. See? Now, at that time, the British wanted to annihilate Islam, finish. Right? Because Islam was like the biggest obstacle on its way, like today also. So they feel that Islam is the biggest obstacle on the way. So how to eliminate Islam? One way, second conspiracy, this idea, that idea. This is not from now. This is from Abu Jahl's time, right? The Jahala started from that time. Not new Jahala, from that time the thing started. And the Jahala, progenies of the Jahalat continues. Up to now you get this Jahalat carrying on. يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِمْ. They wish to put off the light of Allah Ta'ala. They can't, nobody can, how going to do it? So all of us together with all equipment, machinery, everything, we try to put off the light, the sun. That small thing, what is that? No comparison of the sun to deen. Deen is light, complete light. This is something small, insignificant, that you can't put off. I got to put off this thing off. Can't do it. Allah Ta'ala will let it flourish within your homes. Right. Musa alayhi salam, let him flourish in the house of the one that wanted to kill him. Planning to kill him, but he brought him up with love and respect till about 25, 30 years of age. And he brought him with love and respect, with all royal colors and royal atmosphere. So one that was killing and wanted to kill Musa alayhi salam in particular, he's bringing him up. So Allah Ta'ala will bring deen from within your headquarters. England now, all churches into masjid. France, they're frightened about the Muslim population. Germany, same. So already about 1/6 of the population is Muslim. So within you, Allah Ta'ala will bring it out. How are you going to stop this? Okay, you can't stop that. That's the light of Allah Ta'ala. That thing will carry on. You want good, then just hold to the light. Stopping that light, Allah Pak says, ينفقون أموالهم ليصدوا عن سبيل الله. كفروا ينفقون أموالهم ليصدوا عن سبيل الله. They spend their wealth for what? To turn people away from the path of Allah, against masjids, against jamaats, against madrasas, against Islam, right? So they would spend the energies to turn people away. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ لِيَصُدُّوا عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَسَيُنْفِقُونَهَا. They will spend. ثُمَّ تَكُونُوا عَلَيْهِمْ حَسْرَةً. At the end, it will be nothing but regrets, remorse. We spend so much. What did we achieve? So much. That England became a headquarter of Islam. That to make it now a part of the law in England that you can't purchase a church to convert to a masjid. They got ghabrat. Chulab shooting will go on. That whole England became a headquarter for Islam. They know what to do. Hamjani Bharti. They can't understand now. So they have to think of things now. How to divert people, distract people from Islam, from the cause of Allah Ta'ala. Right? How to block the masjid, how to block Islam, how to block Jamaat, how to block the madrasa, to do everything. But you can't stop it. It will flourish within you, it will flourish. It will come up and spring up from within you. ثُمَّ تَكُونُوا عَلِيمْ حَسْرَةً ثُمَّ يُغْلَبُونَ. Eventually, you will be vanquished, finished. You'll be, all your efforts, all will just crumble. Right. That is in this world. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَىٰ جَهَنَّمَ يُحْشَرُونَ. Here, so everything has a time. You know, it doesn't happen straight. Musa alayhi salam, and in his infancy, and all these Coptics are killing them, massacring so many years. So that victory came after how many years? 50, 60, 70 years, then it came. It didn't come straight. No, we say now, we're doing work, why is that happening? So Allah Pak says, it will happen, but everything got its time. لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَجَلْ. Got a time. But are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? You're talking about why, what they're doing, but are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Are you doing that? So in this world, Allah Pak will dishonor them. In the hereafter, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَىٰ جَهَنَّمَ يُحْشَرُونَ. They will be then marshalled towards Jahannam. So they lost here, they lost there as well. Both ways they lost. So we're talking of Haji Abid Hussain Sahib Rahmatullahi. And I'm showing you now what was the Indian condition at that time. That Islam, they saw it to be the main obstacle and we need to crush it down. So they felt that the only way, the only vehicle we have got left now is to establish madrasas, to allow this vehicle of Islam to continue. And people must know what is the deen, what are the beliefs, what are the obligations, what are the prohibitions, so Islam can continue. You remain the ruler, it's alright, but we can have the freedom of our deen. So you got the freedom of your deen, they remain whatever they remain, but we got the freedom of the deen. So they have to have a in-between plan. See, in-between plan. Okay, what do we do? How do we sustain the deen? We can't do it to the ultimate, but to the extent that we can do it. See, if you can't do something right to the ultimate, that doesn't mean you mustn't do it to that extent that you can. What is manageable, do it today. You can't reach the ultimate, right? So at least to the point, to the extent that you can, without getting yourself into problems, do that much. So that's what they had planned, ulama of Dioban, when they started all these things, that's what they planned. So how to reach the whole India without getting into trouble? The deen has to reach everybody. They know, they must know that they are Muslim, they live for Islam, they work for Islam, they strive for Islam, according to their capacity, according to their means. Everybody can't be an alim, but everybody can join in. Right? See, deeni work, everybody can join. How to join them up without getting into any legal problems. So they found that the only way is to establish a madrasa. Now, in the meanwhile, Abid Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah is strongly opposing it. Now it comes to the foundation laying. And Haji Abid Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah is blankly refusing, no, I don't want to do this. And he's refusing to go, come to that foundation lay, an important event, right? But he doesn't, and he's the founder, he's there from the beginning, and he doesn't want to participate. So you look at our Busuganadi, how they worked, see, how they worked. See, that's a side, that's what I'm saying, it's that understanding we need to have. So, Hazrat Qasim Sahib Rahmatullahi, he asked that group that had assembled, hundreds of ulama that had assembled on that occasion, Allah Pak filled the graves with Noor, right? You all continue, and let me go towards Hadi Abid Hussain Sahib Rahmatullahi's place. He let them carry on, and he came. So he, from the door, he's talking to him. You are a senior, right? You're the founder. How can you do things without you? How can you leave us at this crucial moment? What's going to happen to us? If the father left that infant child, how are you going to continue? We need your arm, we need your support, you know. But he said it with so much of ikhlas and so much of sincerity, he cried. No, mind. I'll join you. Perhaps I made an error. I'll join you all. He comes to the foundation stone. And then perhaps he was the first person to lay the first spade, put the first spade. But now you see these people, they, it's not about who's the boss. Listen to me. It's about showing servitude and to join. What? To show servitude. You see this near. Now Qasim Kusab, he had that popularity because of his bayan, his piety, righteousness, etc. You would have just sidestepped him completely. You carry on. Let the word carry. You could have done that. But was that the style? To show servitude and to join. How? This person, how to join him? This person, how to join him? Right? And still let them be big. In his presence or in his absence, don't speak out against him. To give him all that respect, join him up, but the secret, that cement that will join, is that humility. And that humility requires that you be humble, you behave humble. No, why didn't I give this type of a treatment? Why wasn't I treated and respected like this? So now, I will very gracefully distance myself away, move away. Now, if you do this, second person does the same thing, third person does it. Now, can the work continue? Can't. Work can't continue. So the idea is not who to take the name, popularity, recognition, material rewards. No, not, it's not that. You have to change, keep changing, keep correcting intention. See, it's a train of deen, and the train of deen needs to be sustained, needs to be moved. And with all the passengers being happy and comfortable, relaxed, so what it takes of you, I have to break myself completely, make everybody happy, keep them, sustain them, move. So that requires a lot of humility. And that's what the Shaykh Ahmed is complaining. He says that sabku bara banne ka khyaal hai. Everybody should be big. I must be recognized, respected. So I must get that respect, I must get that reputation. Everybody wants that. Now then how is it going to work? So are you working for deen to flourish or for your name to flourish? One of the two now. Is it for the deen to flourish or for your name to flourish? One of the two. If it's for deen, then forget your name came or your name didn't come, don't worry about it. In fact, prefer for your name not to come. Endeavor for your name not to come. That's what you should be endeavoring for. Yes. The deen, I must have pure deen. Ma umiru illa liya'budullah mukhlisin lahu deen. Hunafa. Hunafa, this is what it means. Dusre se hat karke khuda ki taraf mail hona. You've turned away from others and you're entirely on the side of Allah Ta'ala. What you're doing is for Allah Ta'ala only. Now, in the foundation, in the growth, in the sustaining, in the continuity, in the progress, at every moment, I must remind, Is it me or is it Allah Ta'ala? Is it me or is it Allah Ta'ala? That fight must be, it will continue. But you have to smash that ego so much, just forget about it. See, now, see that earning of the humility, how it happens. We're talking of Mullah Muzaffar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullahi. Now, in the old days, hotels and all that wasn't a normal thing. It's an inn. So everybody goes and books in an inn. I'm traveling from here to, say, Stanger, right? So it'll take me in the old days now 3-4 days to reach there, going by horse. So it'll take me 3 days to reach there. Now, en route, where must I go? What must I do for the night? So they had inns. Right? So you're traveling, they'll have stations. One station, second station, third station. You put up at the inn and you continue. Now, Mullah Muzaffar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah has reached one inn. And the inn is like, I suppose, something like a Musafir Khana. So Musafir Khana, what happens is you have a public room, a facility for everybody. So everybody shares one big hall. So you just got your bedding there, you roll the bedding and you rest for the night. Morning you're moving, right? Now, Mullah is in that inn and there's a Hindu with a small child. Child must have been about 9-10 years of age. But that Hindu turned out to be a wealthy jeweler. Now, that jeweler got expensive bracelets on the child's hands. Expensive. With diamonds and all that. Gold. She's got it in his child's hand. So the Buzurgan Adin, they talk to everybody according to their levels. Kaun hai? Kaha ja rahe ho? Kaha se aaye? Where are you coming from? Where are you going to? Or whatever. So the idea is to get them close to Deen, show a little bit of courtesy and draw them to Deen. That was the idea. See? So anyway, Mulana is talking to this person here. They slept the night. By the morning, when this jeweler gets up in the morning, he gets up to find all that jewelry of his son is all disappeared. So he said, "Ho na ho, yehi chor hoga." He's talking to Mullah Muzaffar. Looking for Mullah Muzaffar, he's gone. Yeah, no, he's confirmed it. He made a plan and he's gone. That's why he left early before we could get up also. He did say that he's moving towards Kandala, so he let's take that foot road. From the distance, they spotted him, stopped him, started hitting him. Get my bracelet. My child's bracelet get hitting him. I said, "I got nothing to do with you, you can check me up." Nothing. Well, why was I hide anything from you? Taking the hiding. And now, as they're approaching Kandala, the police commander knows Mulana very well. So he came out to receive Mulana. Now that Hindu got a shock. Hey, police chief, he is holding Mulana in so much of respect. So I'll get in trouble just now. I'll be in prison just now. So Mullah comforts him, but don't worry, he won't do you anything. You just carry on, he won't do you anything. Anyway, Mullah says that after that, how this was a help for me, this whole episode, how it helped me out. It helped me out in this way, that a lot of people show me respect. Now, you know, someone becomes like a buzurg, so you want to kiss his hand, take water for them, pass your hand over my child's head, make dua for me, make tahniq and all that. So now, people show their respect, right? So, I would remind myself, see, you know who you are? You are that person who caught it there, you know? You know how you caught it there? You are that person. Remember, this is who you are. Don't think of this glory. This glory can be false. That was a reality that happened. How you got stuck in all that, see? So, the whole ambition was to learn abdiyat, to be a slave. That was the mission. And I say now, in this abdiyat, there's several elements. But two, three main elements is how to please, especially your elders, right? You learn how to please them. how to keep them happy, comfortable, make them relaxed, happy, and how do you do it? Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah once asked, he explained once one whole incident. He says, Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah told him on one occasion, in fact, asked him on one occasion, Ye buzugana deen jo apne logo ko majaz aur khalifa banate hain, to kyun banate hain? Main janta nahi. Aap bataiye, I don't know this thing, show me. So he says that murid apne sheikh ki khidmat itna karta hai. The murid does that khidmat, you know, pleases him. When I say khidmat, what I refer to is to please him, make him feel comfortable, relaxed, even mentally. See, one is, I need water, so you gave me water. But do we have that familiarity mentally? Our minds now, are we on the same page? You put the shoe right, but are we mentally, are we on the same page? Do I feel the comfort with you? Do I feel the relaxation with you? Even in my heart, even my emotions, do I feel the comfort with you? Now that's what you aim for. I don't say we don't do other khidmat, but more than that is to ensure that mentally, our minds also, emotions also, we are on the same. So, the junior is looking for ways to keep the person mentally comfortable, relaxed, happy all the time. Now, we don't have that inconsistent pattern. One day it's alright, 2 months gone. One day you came again, it's broken again. So now, it's a human being. When it's a human being, so a human being will think now, why is the inconsistent pattern? Like I say, the Fayyaz is Allah Ta'ala. Right? But in this world, Allah Ta'ala has certain centers. Right? The centers then pass on the fuels. Now, if the center is not happy with you, then can you enjoy those fuels? I showed this whole system how it works. Allah Ta'ala doesn't send straight diamonds, gold, minerals. He doesn't give it straight. He sends it to a center. From the center, it is passed on and distributed, right? So, now, we displeased that center, disregarded him. But you want the jewel. Can you receive the jewel? So, in everything now, you'll find is a drop in your deeni work, in your deen. You'll find a drop. You won't find a progress. You won't find the thing progressing. You'll find a drop. So, the right thing was, alright, let me take myself to be the wrong one, and let me try and improve. Now say, no, but why was I treated like this? Why did they speak to me like this? Why was I treated like this? And the other way was, alright, maybe I slipped up, and I'm sure I slipped up, let me improve. Kept on improving. See. So now, if there was any fault that had interrupted, you know, you get a drain and something gets stuck, what do you call it? Clogged, right? If something had clogged it, right? No, let me clear that clog up. It's not me, you know, I must go take my hands and take all the filth out of that clog. You know, wait for that. You're going to, maybe when that clog just opens out, jewels and pearls that will come out. And you'll lose out. You'll lose out. And if you were the wise person, no, let me go and clean it up. The jewels come, then I'm going to be a recipient there, see. See, so you have to keep it open all the time. You can't expect. See, for that diamond material thing, what effort didn't you put? Because you know it's money. You attach your mind so much to money. So that there's a problem with the money, then your love, your respect is gone. Whereas that money, that material, was a material thing, today is by you, tomorrow by someone else. Now because of that, you put all your muhabbat on that. I didn't get this, why didn't I get this? See. Why didn't I get this? See how your mind is working. See. So Mawla understood this whole path is revolving around this humility, right? He says, now when after when I saw the respect, then I should tell myself that you are that person. You are that person who got it like this. So to learn that humility, that was the idea. You got that as though the whole passage is open. Between you and Allah Ta'ala, the whole passage is open. And you didn't get that, try to fix up something here, something there. The more you try to fix up, the more confusion you brought. See, the more you fixed up, the more confusion you brought, you see. Like Mawlana Rumi Rahmatullah is giving an example in his kitab. He's giving a, see, it's a thorn, right? That you poke for the thorn, right? So what you do? You try and remove the thing. How you remove it? He says that it's on your feet or foot or something. Then you'll put a needle and identify. The head of the needle will identify the thorn and you'll pluck it out. Don't you do that? And if it's a little bit more difficult, then you'll put some saliva and then you'll try to identify the thorn and you'll pluck it out, right? One example, it's a very, very beautiful example, right? And he says, but if it is that a thorn got stuck under the tail of a donkey, right? That is going through some terrible time, terrible moment, right? It doesn't know what to do. Now, in that pain, it is jumping, banging from this side, this wall, that wall, this wall, that wall. It's in pain, and that's what it's doing. Will that remove the thorn? It won't remove the thorn. What will happen? Now it had one injury, it had 50 injuries. Oh, it's banging itself here in the frustration, madness, banging against this wall here, against the ceiling. One injury, now you've got 100 injuries. So, he's given an example of an ass. Why? Because by don't become like that mad thing, a stupid thing, be an intelligent person. You got that injury, then that person who knows about removing it, go to him. Specialist who knows about this thing here, then go to him. Have that little bit of understanding to do this. You try to fix yourself, you try and fix one thing, and you'll add 100 problems to it. Now the simple thing was, get to a specialist who knows about this thing. A specialist will put him under anesthetic, make the person lame, identify the thorn and all that, and he'll pull it out. In 2-3 hours time, you are relieved again. But now, you try to do it yourself, and I'll do this, and I'll do this, and I'll do this, and you made it worse for yourself. So, what they looked for, you look at Allama Iqbal, all the stories, they tried to keep the elder happier. Please, you know, what he wants. See. And then, how he began to get that fuse from Masnavi Mawlana Rumi Rahmatullah, Allama Iqbal, right? Whereas he's a convert. Look at his whole life, he's a convert. But how he started getting that fuse, he kept his elder happy with him, and eventually that fuse, now his poetry became like the poetry of the day, everybody quotes him. But now you see this, we don't have this. How to keep our elders happy? Think now, what must I do? How, if there's any obstruction on the way, then how do I remove the obstruction? How, what I do? What do I do? Shah Abul Ma'ali Sahib Rahmatullahi, his murid was Shah Beg, right? You know, when you're going to that Sarhind, you go through Punjab, isn't it? So that Shah Beg's grave is there in that place. Shah Abul Ma'ali is on that way. So now, Shah Abul Ma'ali Sahib is a buzurg of great reputation, right? A lot of them went through constraints, difficulty. Worldly wise, they went through a lot of difficulty. But they took it with pleasure for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. If some constraints, no food, we didn't have tea or something. One of those things, what's the big thing? And this wasn't for a day, for years. No proper food, basic things they didn't have. But they carried on. Anyway, the Buzurg has to go and give programs. Now, you're talking about 200 years ago. But there wasn't this communication and traveling. So they had to go and service all his murids. Service means to show them halal and haram. Show the aqaid is right. Right? If there is mutual dispute, to and correct that, rectify that. Right? Where they're going off to go and correct them. Right? To see all these things that are happening. Right? Like the importance of having a supervisor in a madrasa. If you don't have it, what will happen? The whole thing collapses, isn't it? So they were doing all the batini things, the maktab things, everything they were doing. I gotta take a time. You don't have that communication, you don't have that type of convenience at that time. Just go there and come back. You went to St. John's and same day you came back. They can't do it at that time. That will take now, that zamana, if you do all that, will take them at least about a month to do all that. So they can't achieve it. The traveling is so slow, life is so slow, so it takes a lot of time. So anyway, now Shah Big understands that in the home there is going to be difficulty. Right? Hazrat is not around. Here he'll be doing work here. When he'll be doing work, obviously someone will invite him and the meals, everything, all will be arranged. You know, everything will be arranged. And he's planning it out. Everything is going to be arranged, but what's going to happen in the home? So what he would do is, as Hazrat is coming to a town, he knows that Hazrat will be staying here for that night. It's about a 40 kilometer distance, 35 or 40 kilometer distance. So he will tell the host, you see, Hazrat's home is in constraints. They won't have any food. So give me a tiffin. I'll go and deliver it. Right? As I put Hazrat to sleep, then I'll go and deliver the thing to the house. And I'll return in time to do the wuzu for the Hazrat at Tahajjud. At night, now you're talking, you know, 250 years ago. But you see, they thought now of these things, you know, how to keep them happy, respect them. Though it takes the toll on us. Anyway, Hazrat is gone for two, three months, and on his return, so he's inquiring, you know, but you know, in constraints, what happened and all that. What do you talk of constraints? No constraints. How? No, every night Shah Big would come and would deliver the food. Every day he would do it. So when Shah Abul Ma'ali heard this, he says to Shah Big Sahib, rahmatullahi, that tune mere tawakkul ko kamzor kar diya, badal diya, lekin khidmat ke haq ko ada kar diya. You have disturbed my tawakkul a little bit. But definitely, you have fulfilled the right of khidmat. You know, what khidmat requires, you've done it. I didn't even know about it, nothing. I think my mind was absolutely clear that I'm doing that. He didn't even inform us. I can imagine now that if he informed us, he said, no, you know, you can't go. So he did everything now, everything is done. And Hazrat doesn't know about it. When he's listening to the Kalguzari, to the report from his wife and his household, after 2-3 months, he's getting everything. But now you see all this. There's a lot of volumes that you can learn from these people's stories. How did they do it? How, when they planned it? How they, what did they do? So you humble yourself, join people, make them relaxed mentally, physically. And see, when you, the same page, you will do these things here. But the intentions go off now. And he's like this. We are human beings. Nabi Sam is telling Sahaba Ikram, by, see, Munafiq will come and tell everybody's story. He did this and he did that. So when you tell me that he has done this and that person has done that, right? So we are human beings. And human beings, then how will I feel towards that person? See? How will I feel towards that person? You tell me something about this person, what he did. So my mind or my heart will break up for that person. So what is the better thing? Don't talk about pitting stories. Do the work now, however you can rectify it, or it, here, do it. But don't talk about this person, and that person did this. So that the heart is still pure and clean towards everybody. But now if you know, report something, it may be true, maybe in a good spirit that you are saying, but we are human beings. And human beings, you're going to report these things, so what happens? See? What happens? Now, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, from my childhood I have these things in my mind. You mustn't say anything. That will create a dissension. Now I knew this happened, I could have said it at that moment or that occasion. But I'm thinking to myself, alright, we are adults and I'm going to say something about this person to that person, right? And it's going to create a little bit of problem, right? A reservation. What I'm saying is true. My intention may be right also. But now I know that it's going to create a little bit of a dissension. Why must I do that? Our idea is true, I said. Our idea is humility, learn humility. See, this whole khanqa thing is to learn humility. Learn. And then how to join. Number three is how to please your elders. Your elders, whether it's your parents, whether your mashayikh, ustad. How to please them, how to make them happy. See, and you got that, then these principles will guide you on its own. You know, on its own, it will teach you, right, this is how you go here. You will do this, you won't do this. This is how you conduct yourself here. You'll avoid this. It will teach you, in its own it will teach you. You just need to know the principle. When you know the principle, then that principle will carry you through. See? In the old, they showed a lot of respect. Lots of respect. Lot of respect they showed. So that was injected into them, respect. Don't show disregard, just show respect. And as a result, when they held each other with respect and esteem, right, then there was hardly any fights. Although, in showing respect, you had to humble yourself. You humbled yourself, you showed respect, but there was no fights, no breakups. Right? And things were moving very smoothly. Now, suddenly we came a crossroad, right? See, I'm going to show so much of humility, what's going to happen to my self-esteem? The pride now, how they reworded it. Pride, arrogance, popularity. What's going to happen to my self-esteem? So I'm nothing, that means I'm a kachra. I'm nothing. Now you think that I must guard my self-esteem all the time. Here, I came to this gathering, or we're discussing this matter here, and then, what about myself? So I'm nothing. I'm a non-entity. What am I? See now how you're looking at yourself. So now that becomes a problem now. It becomes a problem that you can't move. You can't move. There's no progress. So this other words, you know, sabko bara banne ka khayal hai. Everybody wants to become big. So that fight to become big. The fight will keep progressing, carry on progressing. But the moment one says, no, I gave up, I'm humble, I don't want all that. Now, is there any fight left? Any fight left now? No, I step down, I don't want it. You take it. You become Fozia Appa. Not Foza, Rama Foza, you become Fozia Appa. Right? So, alright, you took it. I don't want that. I don't want to become Fozia Appa. You become Fozia Appa. Any fight after that? No fight. The whole fight is because who wants to become Fozia Appa? That's a whole fight. That's a whole fight. You know, from the top to the bottom, that's the fight. So no. You become the Fozia Appa right now. We will work under you. Carry on. Now I say, is there anything left now? Nothing left. Absolutely no fight left. See our akabir, how they worked. Each one is trying to keep that respect, that muhabbat, understanding these elders, and how he's doing it, how he's managing it. And that elder then how he holds him in respect, how he loves him. And then after that, then that fuse flow. And when that fuse flow, and then you can see the khidmat thereafter. So I was speaking about Muhammad Ilyas Abdullah. I left that malfuz, right? Said, asked him, Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi, you know, ye buzurg jo apne logon ko khilafat dete hain, to kis wajah se, why they give them khilafat? So he says, you know, the murid is doing so much of khidmat, ke wo apni rahat ko bhi bhool jata hai. He forgets about his own comfort. Apni aram ko bhi chhod deta hai. Apne baro ki aram ki khatir, اپنے آرام اپنی راحت کو بھی چھوڑ دیتا ہے. He's more concerned about his elders' راحت and آرام etc. He's forgotten himself. So when he's come to this point, right, of showing so much of attention and concern for his elder, now that Buzurg calls him and says, Shivat, see the type of khidmat that you have done for me now. Now, I give you the ijazat that you do that type of khidmat, tamam Allah Ta'ala ki makhlooq ke saath wahi bartaav rakho. See what rahat, what comfort you are showing to me now. Now you show that type of comfort and rahat to all the makhlooqat of Allah Ta'ala. See that? See now all this zikr, tasawuf you're doing, this is where it's leading, supposed to be leading. Humility, khidmat, service, right? Thinking nothing of yourself, right? Modesty, this is what it's supposed to be bringing you to this point. If you got that, then you got everything. But if you didn't get that, then there's a lot you still need to work. You still have to work and bring yourself to that mindset, that type of thinking, that type of understanding. Allah Pakka Fri Nasib Kareem.